Welcome to Live with Lon. I'm so glad you're with us this week. You know, I told you last week that I had a letter from a gentleman in the federal penitentiary in Petersburg, Virginia, and it's here. I want to do a shout out to all my friends there. This gentleman's name is Bart, B-A-R-T, but I want to do a shout out to all these guys. He writes and thanks me for being on the radio on 103.3 FM in Richmond, Petersburg. And he says, well, I'm reading from the letter. Many of us listen to your regular radio broadcast via 103.3 out of Richmond. They are very encouraging and relevant. Thank you. And earlier he has said, God has a new path for me now, as I was innocent but convicted and sentenced to serve God in Petersburg, Virginia. God has prepared an amazing ministry for me. Wow. In jail. Hey, praise the Lord, brethren. You're helping with that. And you're helping with all of these men in the federal penitentiary whose lives are being touched by the Word of God. So thank you. All right, here we go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you that it does not have walls. And it goes through the walls and through the prison bars and right to the people's hearts everywhere. So, Lord, continue to use, I pray, our ministry to touch the hearts of people in the prisons and everywhere else around the United States, Lord. Bring people to Christ. Help them grow in their walk with God. And now, Lord, open our hearts to your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And amen. All right, what do we study here at Live with Lon? Tell me, the Bible, come on, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our lives, right? Yes. And so, we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, the Great Shepherd chapter, and I told you that as we read through this chapter, the Bible tells us here about all the great things that the Good Shepherd does for his sheep. Let me review. Number one, he calls his sheep by name. He calls us to come to him. Number two, he calls us by name. We have a personal relationship, not an impersonal one, with the living God of the universe. Number three, he goes before us and protects us. He leads his sheep out. He's in the front. Not in the rear. He's not a hireling who runs away when the wolf or the bear or the lion comes. He protects his sheep. Number four, he gives abundant life to his sheep. John chapter 10, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly by opening up the whole spiritual dimension of our life and being in there as the living God with living grace and living promises for our life. Number five, he unifies the sheep. I have sheep that are not of this fold, that are not Jewish, and I must bring them too. And then finally, he gives eternal life to his sheep, and they shall never perish. He gives us eternal security, and our destiny beyond the grave is secure and settled forever. Great. Now, last time we talked about verse 28, that I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Right? Yes. Today, I want to talk about another verse in this section, and next week as well. And this verse I want to talk about is in chapter 10, verse 16, here's what it says. Let's put it on the screen. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I want to talk to you today about the fact that Jesus, as the great shepherd, unifies his sheep. Now, here he's talking about people who are not of the fold, and that means obviously the fold that he's currently working with, which is the Jewish people. And he obviously has many people of the Jewish fold that he was calling and who were believing, but he's referring to the Gentiles. Now, this was not a very popular thing to do. The Jewish people considered the Gentiles to be subhuman. They considered them to be the lowest thing on the food chain, right above the Samaritans, who were even lower. And when Paul came in Acts chapter 21 back to Jerusalem, bringing the offering of the churches that he had started all throughout the Roman Empire, bringing that offering to the Jewish believers there, and he went on the Temple Mount, if you remember, the people there, the Jewish people, tried to kill him. Why? Because he had gone to the Gentiles. And even with the apostles in Acts chapter 10, when Paul went to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, and shared the gospel with him, the apostles kind of called him on the carpet, said, "What are you doing going to Gentiles?" And he was able to explain that the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his family. And who was I, Paul said then, to resist the Holy Spirit? But this idea of bringing Gentiles into the fold, making Gentiles children of God, this was not a very popular thing. But Jesus said it here. Because Jesus is just not the God of the Jews. No, no. He's the God of the Gentiles as well. And if you're a Gentile, he called you and made you part of the fold, just like he called me as a Jewish person and made me part of the fold. And he unifies us once we're in the fold. Look at what he says here. There will be one flock and there will be one shepherd. Compare 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit we all, Jews and Gentiles, in context, we're baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So that's it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, all of us drinking of the same Spirit, Jew and Gentile alike. The great shepherd unifies the sheep into one flock. Isn't that wonderful? Now, that has deep implications for our world today. And I want to stop here and have us ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on. One, two, three. So what? Yeah. And what's my friend Jackie say? How sweet it is. Or as we say it with me, how sweet it is. Yeah. So what's the not a sermon, just a thought? What's the nugget? What's the takeaway? Well, folks, it's very simple. In the body of Christ, among we who are truly God's sheep and truly born again, the heart of God is for us to be unified on a level that transcends every human difference. Let me say that. The heart of God is for us to be unified on a supernatural level that transforms every human difference. And you know what? If we really know Christ, the Holy Spirit, as he beats and lives in our heart, he enables this. He draws us to this. He makes us rejoice in this unification. It's not forced. It's not legislated. You can't legislate people loving one another despite their differences. The American culture has tried to do that for years and years and years. Can't legislate that. No. I'm sorry. You can't teach people that in school. Why? Because the differences that separate us, our human flesh is so sinful that it hates people that are different than we are. Whether their skin color is different, whether their racial makeup is different, whether their socioeconomic condition is different, whether their background is different, whether their religion is different, whether their culture is different. It is endemic in human sinful flesh to hate people that are not us, people that are not like we are. This is why in Africa, they had that, if you saw Hotel Rwanda, they had those horrible genocides against people who were just different. They called them grasshoppers, but they were simply of a different tribe. That's all. And they were slaughtering them. Now, this is not brand new. We've seen this in country after country after country. We've seen Hitler do it. Folks, this is the human spirit. And you can't change that with a law or education or a book or a pill or therapy. The only thing that can change this is Jesus in our hearts, bringing a supernatural unity that transcends all of this fleshly hatred and xenophobia. You know, being Jewish, I've been on the receiving end of some of this, maybe more than you have here in America. I mean, when I was growing up, unless you're African-American, I want to make that very clear. The African-Americans certainly know about this more, even more than I do. But when I was growing up, there were country clubs Jewish people couldn't belong to. There were certain organizations Jewish people couldn't belong to. There were other things that Jewish people were shunned and not allowed to be a part of. There were high school fraternities that I wasn't allowed to be a part of. We started our own high school fraternity, we couldn't get in some of these other ones, and on and on and on. I understand this. Anti-Semitism is a rampant force in our world today. It's growing by leaps and bounds, sadly, but anti-Semitism's been around for millennia. Why? Because Jews are horrible people? No, they're just different. And the human flesh hates different. But in the Lord Jesus, we rise above that. We have the power to rise above it. We have not just the power, but we have the incentive that the Holy Spirit gives us to rise above that. And what a joy it is to be able to put our arms around other people who are different and genuinely from our heart love them. A few years ago, after a service at McLean Bible Church, I met a man from Egypt. Now, back then, the Egyptians and the Israelis didn't get along at all. They had no peace treaty. And I remember putting my arm around him and saying to him, "Isn't it amazing that in Christ, a Jew and a Muslim, a Jew and an Egyptian can put their arms around one another and genuinely say that they love each other, in spite of all the differences that are ripping the Middle East apart?" I've done that with Iraqi brothers. I've done that with Arab brothers from virtually every country in the Middle East. And they've done it with me. Why? Because in Christ, there is a unity that transcends human differences. And you know what? It was my greatest joy when I was pastoring McLean Bible Church, to see this happen in real time. We had, I think they calculated at one point, we had people from like 60 different countries coming to McLean Bible Church. We had people from Africa, where particularly the women would come in wearing their native dresses and the native hats, these bright colors. I loved it. I always made a point to go over and tell them how much I loved their hats and their outfits. It was wonderful. We had people from Muslim countries. We had people from all over the world. We had fellowships of Filipino people, you know, that spoke Tagalog. We had fellowships of people from Nepal. We had fellowships of people from, you name it, from countries that spoke Spanish. It's amazing. And you know what the interesting thing is? I never preached a single sermon on why we needed to be racially diverse, culturally diverse, economically diverse, whatever, diverse. I never preached a single sermon on that. We didn't have a program. We didn't have an emphasis on this. No. We just preached the gospel, and we loved the people who came through the door. We had an enormous Asian population, which was wonderful, wonderful. It's not because we preached on it. It's because we were all living in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God did it. Amazing. And it was sweet. Baby, how sweet it is. And it was sweet. Sweet. I remember a guy one time said, 100 pianos tuned to the same tuning fork are automatically in tune with each other. Isn't that amazing? That's a great quote. 100 guitars tuned to the same tuning fork are automatically in tune with each other. What's the point? 100 Christians from wherever they came from, and as different as they may be, 100 Christians in tune with Christ are automatically in tune with each other. You don't have to give them a book on it. You don't have to preach on it. You don't have to have a course on it. You don't. They're automatically in tune with each other. They automatically love people, even if they're different, because there is a unity in Christ that transcends that, a supernatural unity. Isn't that wonderful? So, let me conclude today by saying this. Be one of those Christians, my friend, I want to challenge you, who is tuned to the tuning fork, to the Lord Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, every single day when you walk out of your house. You've prayed, you've confessed your sins, you've asked the Holy Spirit to fill you. You're depending on that. Your heart's ablaze with the Holy Spirit when you walk out that door into our world. Friends, be one of those people. Be one, so that when you come across somebody who's also tuned to that fork, no matter how different they are, you are in tune with them, and you love them. And it's a love that transcends all the differences that this world fights about. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that as the Good Shepherd, you have one flock, and there is one shepherd, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Holy Spirit that we're all baptized into. And Lord Jesus, may we be one of those people who demonstrate this in our life, because we strive to be tuned to Christ, the ultimate tuning fork, so that we might be in tune with our brothers and sisters, no matter how different they are, but they're tuned to Christ as well. Lord, may we be an instrument of that unity in our world, and may people see it in us that it's genuine, and may they long to come to Christ and have it in their own hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, Amen. Hey. Got more for you from this Good Shepherd passage, and we'll talk about it, Lord willing, next week. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today on Live with Lon.